Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in the biggest rainstorm Southern California has seen in years. I swear.
Maybe it'll help with those fires.
And that voice you just heard is Margaret Sheldon in Boston. You know what? It's the fires are over and sadly the mudslides are going to start. It's been pouring down rain. Why do we always talk about the weather? It's hysterical. It's been pouring down rain so hard in Southern California, I'm terrified of what the end result's going to be. It's been pouring, like, for 14 hours straight, and we don't get rain like that in, like, a year. So, yeah, a lot of rain. Is it snowing where you are yet?
Well,
no,
you know,
snow
we
right now?
No snow at Thanksgiving. Nope,
yes,
snow
I knew
is
that.
Gone. In fact, I think the guys are here to – we sort of team up with our neighbors to get – our leaves dealt with, and they were walking through the yard this morning. I had to wake my dogs up to say, hey guys, there's someone walking in the backyard. They were like, what? So yeah, I think today's the day we'll get our fall cleanup, you know, and
wow,
that's the race. You got to get it done. I know, but it really is. Am I the only one that's going crazy with, I don't know, this December has gotten to me. I wake up and I think, oh my gosh, only 9 more hours till it's dark. I just am out of my mind. Our sunrise is about 7 a.m. and sunset is at about 4. It is so hard to kind of stay positive and sunny. I keep telling myself we just have to get, you know, to that magical December 21st so we can sort of start the curve back up. But this is rough. I feel it more than any other year. I would gladly take snow just because it would reflect some light. So that's how things are here in New England. But busy, busy time. I hope everyone is looking at calendars. I've made, not a resolution, but I've made a promise to myself to be looking at all of the events that I want to do in 2019. I'm looking at, you know, calls for entries, and I'm trying to get the shows that are kind of appropriate for me that I want to be involved in. Boy, it's so much work just kind of getting yourself organized and teed up for that. But it's sort of what has to happen in December, I'm convinced. So I hope I'm not alone. And I have a gripe. I feel like we should start a new segment of the AHA show where we should have, like, cheers and jeers or something. I want to know why all of the art supply companies that we all spent so much of our money at, you know, whether it's, I don't care if you're going to Michael's or you're going to Blick or Artist's Warehouse or the Framers or any of it, you name the vendor. Why don't they have better sales? Why isn't there a really big,
Black Friday sale
for art supplies?
That's a really good point because everybody has these, like, killer sales. And the Black Friday sales, like, started in, you know, first of I think, November.
Yeah.
And everything was, like, 50% off, 60% off. And you're right. None of the art supplies are on sale. I mean, they are, but they're, like, 10% off, whoop-de-doo, right?
But it's the usual, right? It's what you can get whenever they run a promotion.
Right,
I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, boy, they could really cheer me up and win some loyalty if there was, like, even if it was, like, a 12-hour bang, 40% off sale, I would go crazy just because it would be a gift to yourself, you know, as an artist. Or anyway, that's my gripe. I think we all have to talk about it.
Do I get my gripe?
go ahead.
We're filming here next Monday, and they leave on Saturday. And guess what I'm doing this weekend? Taking down.
Party?
No, it's not till the 22nd. I'm taking down 100% of my Christmas decor. I'm, like, in this total funk. I am, like, so – my house looks so great right now. I've spent days making it look perfect, and it's just – I'm so sad. I can't even believe it. I'm depressed.
It's the cost of doing business.
I know.
And look, you get a little bonus. It's not like you're giving it away for free. This is a good thing.
I know. It's also –
and maybe maybe some star will walk in and see one of your paintings and just say, oh, I've got to have it. It could happen. I think you should, like, line them up in the wall or something.
Yeah.
You know, this is in-person
marketing. I worked 19 hours yesterday. Can you believe that?
I can believe that, because what time did you text me, and did I text back?
Oh, I was still up. Yeah, that was probably around 2, and I was like, what are you doing? You're on the East Coast, honey. Yeah. No, it's been – my husband looks at me, and he's like – I think he thinks I'm just going to crumble. I've been working at least 14-hour days, and it's just been a really hellacious time. And I think after the problem is any photos or anything I have to take has to happen this week, because I won't have my house next week, and I just have a lot to do. So we'll figure it all out.
All right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're going to do an important service for artists this morning. We're going to talk about talking, which I'm excited
about. We are. I think there's two scenarios that are really important, and these are what we're going to talk about. And the first is kind of that conversational talking about your art. And because a lot of that goes on, and it's amazing how I've been at events and places and even in workshops with artists, and you know, you ask them a question and they just, it's like they don't know what to say. And I remember well, and it's hard because I've always said that when you paint a painting, it's like taking something inside of you and ripping it out and putting it on the canvas. It's very personal. So when it comes to like talking about what you do, it's hard, but we're going to help with that. And then there's the second part of the show is on the kind of the concept of, you know, how you get it in front of a group of people and how you talk about your art. Maybe it's in an art exhibition.
Right.
Whatever it can be. Right. So, yeah. So I'm excited about this. Okay. So there's this saying that I wish I knew where it came from, but I saw it probably 8 years ago. and I even put them on the back of coffee mugs that I used to have in my workshops. And the saying is, it's not about telling others about your art, it's giving them a reason to ask about it.
Yeah.
And that to me completely is 100% kind of my philosophy of how I want to talk about my art. So, you know, it's really hard to just walk into be at a cocktail party, not that we go to cocktail parties, okay, be at a baseball game. and sit next to somebody and have me say, hi, I'm an artist. I mean, that's not going to happen. But you can be in a conversation with someone and you can say, yeah, when I'm in my studio every day and da-da-da-da, and they'll go, studio, what do you do? Are you a yoga instructor? I'm like, no, I'm an artist. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
And there's kind of ways, it's a lot easier to answer a question than have to make a statement about what you do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You can
flows so much more
natural.
All right. So when you tell someone you're an artist, like it finally gets around to what kind of a studio, you know, no, I'm not a dancer or whatever. I'm an artist. What's the next question that they always ask you?
What kind of art do you paint? What kind of art do you make?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that is so easy for anyone to sort of rehearse an answer. I mean, anybody can figure out ahead of time how they want that to come across. And I think you need to practice it, don't you? Like if you can kind of get comfortable. I mean, the first step is getting comfortable with even calling yourself an artist. How many people have you seen that just kind of choke on the words in the beginning? They don't feel, I don't know, what's the word? Like they don't feel entitled to use it. And I always think that's a shame. It's the first
there's
step.
There's nothing wrong with having a rehearsed pat answer, and every single artist needs to have one. And you can change it over time, but you just need to be able to say something that is succinct. It's called the elevator speech. It's when you're standing in the elevator and someone asks what you do, and you say you're an artist, and they say, what kind of artist are you? And you need to be able to say, I paint colorful and bright paintings only using a palette knife. They're like, what's a palette knife?
Yeah.
I mean, so you're just kind of creating, giving them a little, and that's my 3-minute elevator speech, which is like 10 seconds. And you need to have that, and you need to memorize it, and you can change it. I mean, don't sound like a robot when you answer the question, but it's really simple. But you need to, and it needs to be the kind of answer that evokes more questions.
Right.
You know, if you answer the question in 5 minutes and you bore them, it's not going to work. You want to answer and give just enough information that they're like, what does that mean? Or what's that?
Right.
Because it's giving them enough information so that they ask about your art. And you want to continue doing that whenever you have a conversation, which is good. Does that make
sense?
That
is a great point. A total sense. I think it's,
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you. No, I know where you're going with this, and I like it. Go ahead.
No, you don't. Because I've just forgotten.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, so if the first step is being able to think of yourself as an artist and kind of, again, claiming that title, what do you do? Oh, I'm an artist. And then finishing it off however you want. You'll almost invariably hear about some relative of theirs who's an artist, right?
You know, right,
the
of
conversation
course. Very good point.
Can flow. And what's kind of fun is you've opened the door, I think, for the other person to kind of ask any question they want and get an answer. I mean, they can ask you what you do. They can ask you, they almost always ask you, do you sell your art? I mean, that's a very common one. They'll ask invariably what material you use. Oh, you paint. Do you do watercolor or,
right.
And they worry, but they will say oil.
And then
you know,
what do you paint?
A whole lot.
What subject matter do you paint? They always ask that. And don't say, I only paint boats. I mean, come on. A person could want a seascape and have a huge budget. I mean, you just don't know. So you always kind of want to leave it a little bit unanswered, if that makes sense. And, it's such an important thing, and it's amazing how easy it is once you know in the back of your mind what the answer is. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about it, but just give enough information. If they're interested, they'll ask more questions. If they're not, they won't, and that's fine. You're not wasting your time. But I think it's really important. In that initial conversation, figure out a way to kind of sneak it in there that you're an artist with some statement that just gives them enough information, you know. I don't know. I think it's important. You know what I do? I have my apron on and I go to the grocery store with it on. Everyone asks me if I'm an artist. And I don't do it on purpose, I swear.
You think, what? Here, let me just reach into my pocket here.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
That reminds
That's
me.
That's great.
You always have to have business cards. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you're wearing. Girls have it easier because we usually carry a purse. But you have to have business cards with you. If you don't, say, hey, pull out your phone. Let me give you my information. Or, you know, here's my website. Let's press this button and you can subscribe to follow me. Close the contact. You're not necessarily closing the sale, but close the contact. And if you don't have a business card,
that's a great idea.
Get their phone or pull out your phone and airdrop them the information. I mean, there's so many ways that you can make sure that they know about you. Really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. As you were saying that, I was thinking, I did this paint out last spring because it was warm. And it was part of a fundraiser in Boston for the Copley Society. So you went, you got, you know, you sort of registered for your spot, went there, painted a painting. And of course, people come up and, you know, they stand behind you and then they very gingerly approach. But I saw such an interesting spike in traffic because I left business cards on my, I used a French easel and I just had a stack of business cards. And I don't know if people were taking them or I was giving them. I really couldn't say. But I saw this traffic on my website. And I know it's because they were curious. And then they went to check it out. To your point, even if you just have them available, people are going to, you know, on a table somewhere, people are going to take those and learn from my mistake. Make sure your website's up to date. Because that's kind of like the part where it's the rest of the conversation, but you're silent. You don't have the opportunity to talk your way through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. No, I completely agree. So that's the number one most important thing you need to be able to do for sure, you need to spend some time, get your elevator speech down, make sure you have business cards with you all the time, and because that's what's going to happen every day if you're smart about it. So,
That's why I'm always envious of the people who can then hawk an open house at their studio, you know, sort of say, well, you should come by and see what I do, because people love being invited into your workspace, and they almost always leave with a painting from my experience. If you can get them in. So, all right, let's go to part two, which is a little more technical, but in the sense that it's another step down the road. But recently I went to an artist talk. And what that is it was an evening, and it was arranged as part of a big art exhibition at a local art club. And there were probably, you know, 24 artists who had been juried into this show. And on this particular evening, a handful were giving an artist talk about their work. And I think they did this on a few nights. I just happened to catch this one night. So the focus of the talk, and it's a very short talk, is obviously centered around the piece that they had accepted into the show. But as I sat there, I kind of became aware that some artists were, you know, a little more fluent than others when it came to talking about their work. And what I thought was, like, this is interesting because I don't think it's something artists practice enough. Kind of how do you actually explain something about your art sort of easily?
Right.
And I think what's really important is to be able to do it with confidence. So I don't know if that's something you've ever come across, but I thought, boy, this is an area where we can all probably prepare better, knowing that these things are coming. And, you know, I guess the idea is that if you can kind of not have a script, but be comfortable with the material, it's going to elevate not only, you know, yourself and your art, but it'll elevate the quality of a presentation that you're giving. Because there was a wide range that evening, and I thought, boy, we all need to practice this more.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, many of today's artists not only make great art, but they have to acknowledge the importance of being able to talk to professionals and non-artists about their art. It's sadly a huge part of your job. And it's really great if we can just hide in our studios and make art. But everybody wants to meet you. They want to hear from you.
Yeah.
They want to learn about what you're thinking about when you're creating their art. They want to, you know, and so much of this translates into things like being an instructor. Certainly doing, participating in any type of art exhibit. And it also goes into social media because, believe it or not, you are having to write and talk via your phone about what you do. And you really need to be able to express. Now, I have the issue where I have no problem talking. You probably figured that out years ago, Margaret. So when I like type a blog post, I try to type it like I'm talking, and it's so much easier. So, but as an artist, you have to remember that collectors and others really like to talk with artists at gallery openings, open studios, art fairs, I mean, wherever it is that you sell your art. So, and it doesn't have to be necessarily the big presentation in front of 500 people, which gives us all the EGBs, I'm sure. But even just a conversation with you as an artist, with the collector, can really kind of enhance, you know, their experience about your art. And we all know that people like to buy art from people that they know, that they think they know, and that they like. So it's hard. And I know it's hard for artists to relate to people at gallery openings or open studios, and it's kind of uncomfortable, but that all comes down to practice. And you need to be able to have you know, have a conversation with your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend and, you know, practice. And once you once you kind of know the answers, and here's the other thing. When someone asks you a question, instead of worrying about what you're going to say, and trying to listen to how you answer, just answer the question. It's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
That
you know
is
how
a
we all...
really good point.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get so caught
don't
up into how you
so
sound and how you think you're sounding that you forget that you just need to answer the question.
You know, isn't that funny? Because the truth, yeah, the truth is you know the answer. You created the piece. Chances are.
Right. Yeah, 100%.
Nobody knows
but
it better than you do. Right.
Thinking about everything else, and you don't want to do that. You just want to answer the question.
No.
And be yourself.
Yeah, and it's probably a good idea to do this maybe with a group. I'm thinking, you know, this is exactly what my art group does. Because when we meet, okay, yes, it is about the dinner. No two ways about it. But we do bring any new work, and we pop it on the easel, and we talk about it. And I can't tell you how helpful that is. Because
right.
not only does it force you to talk about it, but you hear other artists' vocabulary. And, you know, that sounds so silly, but there is a vocabulary that makes it easier to describe. So,
yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. Okay.
Definitely.
So one thing about having the here's what, you know, my mother would have said, if when you're given the opportunity to talk about yourself, grab it. But I think you need to be able to kind of start at the very beginning. Like, you're going to introduce your art to an audience, whether it's an audience of 1, 6, 2 dozen, whatever it is. Listen to my phone go. Anyway, so you can prepare all of that in advance, no doubt about it. And what you can do is you just have to start by describing your piece of art. I mean, it's that simple. If
mm-hmm.
you can sort of brainstorm, you can begin by, like, just sit down and you know, at your keyboard and start typing, like, whatever it is that comes to mind, whether it's about the creation of that piece or your experience as an artist. I think, you know, we do these inspiration boards with images, right? We've often talked about how great that is to kind of fire up your art. You know, you see a great image and you want to sort of use that as inspiration. You put it up on a board. We'll do that with maybe words. You know, think about phrases or even a broken sentence, anything that kind of applies to the piece or the pieces that you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bother trying to organize it or worrying about, you know, whether or not the sentence makes any sense. I think what you really want to do is, again, start building that vocabulary that's going to let you best describe what you create. And, you know, read it through and think about the kinds of words that you would like to hear used to describe you or
mm-hmm.
The piece of work maybe that you're going to be talking about. So I want to be sort of really clear about what I thought was great in these presentations. When you introduce your art, people do like a really brief background. They kind of want to get a very small
like how you got
sense.
Started
Not,
kind of
nobody
thing.
Wants yeah nobody
yeah.
wants to hear about, you know, every single step of your art education, whatever that may be. But I think you tell them a little bit about you, and maybe then you talk about what your art signifies or represents
mm-hmm.
or what
yeah.
being an artist means to you. Because, again, you're sort of engaging with an audience, and you're trying to – the reason they're sitting there is to hear about you and hear about the art. So give them a bit of it. I think it's really helpful if you spend some time thinking about where the idea or inspiration for a piece originated, and maybe how you take your inspiration and put it onto a canvas or paper or board or whatever it is. But I think you need to really break it down and keep it simple, because what I've noticed is that people can really get into a rut if they start talking too much about the process of creating.
Right.
You know, this is how I apply the paint. This is how I scrape the canvas. The truth is, if you start down that end, you're never going to talk about what motivated you to create the piece. You're just going to be talking about a sort of a follow step-by-step to create art.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is you will get plenty of those questions if there's a question and answer period at the end. Especially the artists in the room will always ask, what did you use to, and then fill in the blank. So I think when you're doing your introduction and you're talking about a piece of art, maybe keep the process of creating it to a minimum. Because it's going to come
thing,
up, I guarantee
the
you.
The other thing I would suggest is, mm-hmm. if you've been an artist for a while, we all know you get asked the same questions. So
yeah.
when you're talking about your art, whether it's painting A, painting B, or painting C, kind of have a formula of how you talk about a painting. Mm. Like you start with a little bit of your, you know, maybe a little bit of your background for like 30 seconds or less. And then you talk about, you know, what your inspiration was. You talk about a little bit of the process. You talk about, I mean, that's kind of like
yeah.
a formula. And if you have that down, then you're never going to get stuck because you're always going to have kind of like, okay, it's five steps in my brain. This is what I'm going to do. And sure, you'll deviate from it. Questions will get asked, you'll get interrupted. But at least if you have kind of that little plan, it's so much easier.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with index cards. I mean, I
oh,
know
sure.
some artists are really feet and they kind of walk around and talk and they're energetic. But I think there's no harm in having index cards so that if, you know, what do we all dread? We dread our mind going blank. If your mind
yeah.
goes blank, turn the card and go to the next, you know, little idea that you have written down. It,
I couldn't agree
I think,
more.
Can keep you, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's wonderful. Okay. Now, sometimes there's art that, okay, so someone told me I paint happy paintings, which I think is probably true.
You do.
I do.
Yeah.
Abstracts, whatever. But there's a lot of times
yeah.
where the art isn't happy for a lot of reasons. It could be something that you're going through personally as an artist. It could be that it has something to do with politics, maybe the degradation of the environment, you know, wanting to raise
yeah.
awareness about something. Regardless of what it is, there's always a positive spin. And I would encourage you to try to keep that positive spin. And I'm not saying be fake. I'm not saying don't be real. I'm just saying if it's too dark, sometimes you can really turn off an audience. Now, I know there's artists
mm-hmm.
who will do a whole exhibition of something that's really shocking. And that's great. And I'm not talking about those scenarios. I'm just talking more about, you know, let's say you painted this painting and it was incredible and you did it after your mother died. That's great information to share in a small way. You don't want to depress the person and have them
mm-hmm.
think every time they look at the painting they want to buy that it's about a very traumatic event. You know what I mean? So it's
right,
just
right.
think about the positive. And sometimes too much information is a bad thing. We're all guilty of it. We all do it. But if you're, especially if you're at an art opening, think about the mindset of the person who wants to buy the painting. And how do I say this? What message or what memory or what feeling do you want them to have when they look at that painting? Because whatever you say, going to brand that in the potential buyer's mind. And just think about that before you like.
You're
you
absolutely
want.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not
yeah,
saying
right.
it won't be true.
I mean, even
I know. Let me just finish.
Right.
I know there's people, Margaret, who are thinking, I can't believe she said that. It's not being honest. But if you are there to sell your art, just think about the impression you're giving the potential buyer. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Some people like dark.
Yeah. Exactly.
There you go. All right. Now, when it comes to these little artist chats, you don't always have control over the timing of your talk. But if you do, if you're involved with the scheduling or whatever, I think the best time to give a talk is sort of early in the sort of second half. If it's from 6 to 9, it's great if you can go at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's optimal. Because I think what you want, if you're going to be talking about your art, you want people to be able to come into an exhibition, whether you are just one part of many paintings. You know, give them a chance to kind of come in. Often they'll get a little something to eat or drink. They kind of acclimate themselves. And I think the truth is, if they want to hear you talk about art, they need to see some art beforehand, and probably even
Great point.
After, just because it'll give
yeah.
them a context. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a perfect world, don't schedule the talk for the first, as soon as everybody walks in the door, because they're not going to remember what you said and they're not going to apply it to your
right.
painting if they haven't had a chance to see it ahead of time. The other
mm-hmm.
thing is sometimes you can control who you're talking with and sometimes not. My best advice is don't worry about it, because whether, you know, there's a cohesiveness or maybe it's like three artists that are wildly different, anybody who's coming to hear knows that each artist's point of view is their own. So I've seen so many people get hung up on who they're going to be speaking with or showing with. I say your art stands on its own, and just, you know, some things
mm-hmm.
you don't have control over, so don't even fret about it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And when you do have that art talk, if you've publicized when you're going to do the talk, don't mm-hmm. deviate too much from it, because the people do have
yeah.
expectations. And keep your talk to like 5 or 10 minutes with
mm-hmm.
additional time for questions. And the questions are really important. And you should, hopefully there's going to be someone there who's kind of like the moderator, who can the people that ask those questions that only would apply to them and no one else can you know, step in and say, oh gosh, you know what, we'll be happy to talk about that question, that specific question afterwards, because that's
yeah.
you don't want to have to go into a laborious technique that, you know, is so specific to someone. Now you want to rehearse, obviously. And you might even think about recording yourself. But once again, if you record yourself while you're recording it, don't worry about the fact that you're recording yourself, because you won't do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be natural. So if you put the camera out there, don't remember that it's there, because it'll change how you do it. And you don't want to have that happen, because it's a thing
yeah.
you have to practice, so that when you're in front of a group of people, it's the same thing. You're not worried about the fact you're in front of a group of people. You're thinking about the fact you're sharing something that you love to do and that you are so proud of, and you're excited. Not that there's 40
Absolutely.
People listening to every word that you say. So it'll just give you a chance to practice and tighten it up. And no, that was advice I gave for people who want to teach. Record yourself teaching and practice out loud. When you're painting, practice out loud talking about what you're doing. It'll make you a much better teacher as you're painting a painting, if you explain what you're doing
really,
to yourself.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Because
no one's
I've
gonna
seen
hear
so
you
many
if you're
teachers
in your studio.
Who have to stop painting, right? People who are,
yeah.
are teaching and who paint, and then they stop painting in order to talk. And it's
yeah.
so, jumpy
mm-hmm.
in and out. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, after you're done with the speaking part, you'll likely have some questions and answers. And if you can keep the answers sort of brief, long answers, just a lot of people drift.
Right.
Again, as you said, Leslie, offer to follow up afterwards if somebody wants a more, you know, detailed answer to something that they've asked.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of after the Q&A, you know, you can always catch up with them at the end. And here's something that I learned. You know, I moderated a talk with Julia Powell about a week or two ago, and you can really read the audience. Now, because I was in front of the room, but I wasn't the main speaker, I was just
right.
moderating,
right.
I could really take that opportunity to scan. And boy, you can really see if people's eyes start wandering, or they start not so much inching toward the door, but you know what I noticed? Women start picking up their bags and putting things
oh.
in them, like they start paying attention. And
That's
I thought,
funny.
Okay, time to move on to the next question. But I think even if you're making the presentation, to sort of read the crowd, if people start getting a little antsy, just time to wrap it up. And nothing wrong with that. You know, it's the old, always leave the crowd wanting a little more. And that's where those follow-ups can be really helpful. You know,
mm-hmm.
someone who had a more detailed question, just know that you'll catch them on the other side. Yeah.
So, so true, Margaret. That was, very important. The other thing is be prepared for the questions that you don't want to answer. Before you go and do something like this, think to yourself, what are those difficult questions that someone might ask? So if I was in front of a group of people, the first question would be, are you ever going to paint again, Leslie? What happened? Why are you doing this crazy thing? I know that would be the first question. So here's the thing. Margaret calls them damage control type responses. But this is the best example I can think of. When, as an artist, you are so bored of painting boats and you can't paint them anymore and you decide to paint night scenes, for example, and you have an art show and it's mostly night scenes, everyone came looking for boats. So that's going to be kind of a big deal. And this happens to artists all the time. How are you going to deal with that question of why aren't there boats? How come you're all painting night scenes? Or how come you're now painting in watercolors? Or how come you're using a palette knife and not a brush like you used to? Any type of change is very unsettling for the art community. And yet for an artist, sometimes it's one of the most important things you can do, because when you're so bored with painting the same thing over and over, I mean, it's hard and it kills your creativity.
Yeah.
Just be prepared for that. You know, humor is a great thing. There's so many, I'm not going to tell you what the answer is, but I'm just saying, be prepared for the question. And before you go in there, think of what do you think those questions are that people might ask? It's not likely there's a zinger out there. It's really not. It's more that people will say, how come you don't paint larger paintings? You know, you've heard them all. You've probably been asked them on social media. So just be prepared. That's it.
I know. I hope we're not scaring anyone. Remember, any conversation about your art is good. Yeah.
The truth be prepared.
So sort of think about the gallery setting, because I know a lot of artists will give maybe not at the opening, but there will be a talk scheduled. If you're lucky and if the stars align, there may be some sales. And I just wanted to say that sales discussions, here's the beauty of a gallery. The gallery personnel handles it. If you're in, a larger show, other circumstances, certainly it's helpful if people want to ask questions about purchasing art. Maybe they don't want to ask the artist. In fact, I'm pretty sure they almost always avoid talking to the artist about that. But it's great to have a friend or a family member who can answer. And I think you just need to think ahead of time about to whom you want to refer interested buyers. And, it doesn't hurt if you're at sort of an opening or after a talk to approach the people who look like they're paying a lot of attention to your work, whether it's, one of many or you're the whole show. If someone's standing there and is really, really focused or keeps returning to a piece of art, chances are they're interested, and you can always let them know that you're available to talk or certainly answer any questions. As you said, people love to make a connection with the artist, and that almost always ups your chances for a sale. And I think that, I've been at art association sales, and it's amazing how important it is to know where, the assistant director is or whoever's going to handle the sale in the room. Because even if it's not my work, I've had people say to me, do you know who I should talk to if I want to purchase a piece of art? And it is really helpful if you can point to so-and-so in the red dress over in the corner and say she handles it. I just think being aware of that ahead of time really increases. I mean, for me, the goal is always to make some sales, and I think that is a big deal. So, with the right attitude, you can accomplish a few red dots if the stars have aligned. But it's not as easy as outsiders think, is it? I mean, people think you just put it on the wall and everyone buys it. There's so much more to this life.
It is. And I think that it's just something that we can always get better at. It really is. And what we need to do is just keep practicing. But more importantly, just be yourself and understand that people really want to hear what you have to say. That's why they came. They want to see your art. And anytime you share something that the potential buyer perhaps thinks that, oh, wow, now they know that you've said that and that's just so cool and they're so excited, you know, that's how you build collectors.
Yeah.
And opening up a little bit is not a bad thing. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Makes it all
great
more
topic.
Personal. Yeah.
Great topic,
well,
Margaret.
Yeah,
great
now
topic.
Now we have to just sort of get some more shows going. And, yeah, I would love to hear people's feedback on this. You know, whether or not everyone is prepared and ready to talk about their art or if it's a big
mm-hmm.
deal. Oh, there's a big truck. So this will be an interesting one to sort of hear the follow-ups on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Well, Leslie.
I agree.
I want to wish you Godspeed in taking all of your Christmas decorations down and then putting them back up. I think that's something that will be worth following. And I don't know if other artists take time
I may leave them up till February. Kidding.
Oh,
that's
God.
A joke.
No, it's, yes,
it's
I understand.
I know.
Well,
silly, but anyway.
It's a busy time of year.
It is. And next week we'll do our show.
Enjoy it.
I have no idea where I'll be doing the show since I'll be in a very crazy environment where they're filming all day. So who knows? We'll see. I'll be somewhere.
All right. Well, be in touch then. Have a good
week.
All right.
Thanks, Margaret. Take care. Bye.
You bet. Bye.